He just gifted me the ability to walk. Amen. I'm unable to play any instrument, but I enjoy to hear people that uses their talents for the glory of God. And I appreciate that. It's good to be with you this morning. I hope and pray you've had a good week. And been praying for the service this morning. I've got a few thoughts on my mind this morning I want to share with you. But before we go into this morning, does anybody have a word on your heart, a word of testimony, or anything this morning?
Good to be saved.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? I'm glad I'm saved. Washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm glad that I've got hope.
Amen.
That blessed hope. Amen. Regardless of what this world comes to or whatever we may go through, we've always got hope that are saved by the grace of God. That there's a better day coming. This is a getting ready place. We're just getting ready for eternity. If you're here today and you're not saved by the grace of God, my prayer is today be the day of salvation. If you're here today and you're saved, maybe God will draw you closer to Him and encourage you here this morning. We need God in our midst, amen? I've been excited to get here this morning. I've had this on my heart all week, and I'm excited to preach, so y'all just bear with me. I'm still as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Amen? And I pray that if I ever lose this nervousness, God will set me down. There's a lot of responsibility standing behind this sacred desk. It's not a time for me to show off how that I've polished the art of preaching. It's not a time to dazzle you with theological brilliance. We come together this morning to worship God and Him alone. And that's what I want to do here this morning. If you got your Bibles this morning, if you open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 12. Isaiah chapter number 12. When you turn your place there, it's a short chapter, only 6 verses. You can also turn to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. And I'll go there in a little bit. These two will coincide with each other, what the Lord has laid on my heart. Isaiah chapter number 12. When you find that, if you'll stand this morning as we read the Word of God, you pray for me this morning. Pray for each other and pray for one that might be lost here today. Isaiah chapter number 12, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, Praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." You may be seated. Father, this morning, Lord, we just ask a touch this morning upon the reading of your word. Lord, there's been many objects of prayer mentioned here this morning. I pray, God, that you would intercede in each and every one of those. And Father, I'm thankful this morning for the Sunday school teacher, the choir, the songs that have been sung, the dear sister that has played the piano. And Father, this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me as I stand here to bring forth your word. Father, I can't do any preaching on my own. And Father, I just give myself to you this morning. I pray that you'd speak through me. And God, it did not fall upon deaf hearts here this morning. Father, you knew every soul that would be here today. You knew the message to send. And God, our heart's desire is just to be in the center of your will here. Father, just give me clarity of mind, looseness of tongue. Father, help me say everything I need to say and discernment to say nothing that would dishonor you. And Father, help us all to leave better than we've come. And Lord, if there's one here that's lost, I pray today it'd be the day of salvation for them. And Father, we give you all the glory for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. This week, I was tending to the horses. Me and my wife, we raise Belgian horses. Me and my father-in-law, we have another team of Belgian horses. And I've got a donkey. Every preacher needs a donkey, amen. Keep him in line. And I work all day and come home and tend to the horses and so forth. And as I went into the barn, and in our barn, we have running water year-round. And we got a big trough in the center there that the horses can get to while they're eating. I mean, the horses get better took care of than most people do, amen? And this water that runs into this trough, it runs a 3/4-inch pipe full year-round. It comes from a hole in the side of the hill out there, just a spring that man didn't dig, it just God gave it, and it runs year-round. And you might say, what does that have to do with anything? I got to thinking about that, about how that water just continually flows. How many of you remember back when we had the power outage for about 5-6 days many years ago, and people were worried about the water? If you've got a well and your power goes out, it's hard to do anything, isn't it? But I could go over to that barn and I could get water. I could draw from that water. We didn't hurt for water to cook with, water to do whatever, drink or whatever. And some people might say, ooh, you drink water where a horse drinks. I want to say something right there. If you won't drink water where a horse drinks, you're in trouble. Because a horse won't drink bad water. A horse only drink good water, so I'm not above drinking where a horse drinks, amen? But I thought about that well there, that well that flows continually, it drains out, it's continually, it's clean, I mean, it's good, and it's refreshing. If you put up hay, throughout the years we put up hay, oftentimes I'll go stick my bald head in that cold water and cool off. And I get refreshed when I draw from that well. I get to thinking about this text of Scripture. I got this verse come to mind in Isaiah chapter number 12. In verse number 3, the Bible says, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. In context of the Scripture, this is Israel singing a song during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. But I want to make this morning an application for the child of God in the day in which we're living. See, I myself watch a lot of news. I myself, as the brother said, I watch a lot of news. And my son said something the other night, Saturday night, that grabbed my attention. Our young people today, high school, college age children that are studying and planning for their future and moving on, down the road, trying to live life, or hearing all that's going on in this world. They're watching the news, they're hearing about Ukraine, and they're hearing preachers that's on Facebook, and my son was disturbed. My son was disturbed, and he said, Dad, he said, I'm getting married May the 14th. I just bought a home in Wilkesboro. My son, we moved him out last weekend, and he moved to Wilkesboro, and he said, I'm trying to plan for a future. And he said, all I hear preachers saying today, since all of this with Ukraine and all the trouble and all the trials that's going on, basically I have no future. I have nothing to look forward to. He said, what happened to a time when you preachers would get up, preach hellfire and brimstone, and give us some encouragement and let us know that there is a future if the Lord doesn't return? Because he said, Dad, you don't know when he's coming. Those preachers don't know when they're coming. And he said, it's about time that you help us young people be encouraged with something. Amen. The Lord is soon coming, right? I heard that since I was sitting on that pew as a little bitty boy. I've heard the Lord is coming, and I believe that it's closer now than it was then. Things are lining up. We do know that we're living in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days, perilous times shall come. But you know, Paul was living in perilous times too when he penned down 2 Timothy through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Those were perilous times as well. May I say today, beloved, all the stuff that we see going on in this world today has been going on for a long time. We just have a whole lot of media at our fingertips. And the Lord is still on the throne. God is still in control. Amen. We still have an opportunity this morning to worship God. Amen. He's not come again yet. And you and I have got to share the hope that we have. And you and I both have a lot to be happy about. With all that's going on, I mean, listen, I know that it's troublesome. I know that it brings sadness to our hearts. I'm saddened for what's taking place in Ukraine. I'm saddened for all the Christians that are there and this morning or whatever, they couldn't come together like they once did. I'm saddened about that. But yet, beloved, you and I know God is still on the throne. This did not catch God off guard. We need to lift them up in prayer. We need to put a smile on that are saved by the grace of God. And we need to start living in joy instead of sadness. We need to quit letting sadness control who we are. We need to turn our frowns into smiles. People that comes into our church need to look at us and say, I want what they've got. With all that's going on in the world, look at them. Look, they're smiling. They're excited about what they're here for. They're excited about what God is doing. But oftentimes we let ourselves be so burdened down and troubled down that most people don't want what we've got. Because we're not sharing the joy. And I'm going somewhere with this. It gets a little better in a minute. But listen, as I looked at this, we know what spiritual time it is. I don't have to stand here. I don't have to preach about it. You that are saved by the grace of God know what spiritual time it is that we're living in. And you and I know that we're looking forward to heaven. Heaven is our home. We're just sojourners. And each and every day we're drawing from the well of salvation to encourage us in that hope and joy of a better day that's coming. But if you're here today and you're lost, you can't draw from that well. You can't draw from that well of hope and that well of joy that I'm enjoying here this morning. It may not look like it, but the big gears and little gears are clicking inside. I'm enjoying what God has done for me. See, you can't draw from something you don't have. If you don't have that well of salvation within you, you can't draw from it. A classic example of that is John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. Jesus, we know, has gone over to Samaria. And there, Jesus has waited for the woman at the well. She comes to the well to draw, and he says, give me to drink. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Boy, I'm glad I've got that living water this morning. Amen. And the Bible said, the woman saith unto him, sir, verse 11, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and the children, and his cattle? Jacob's well is about 9 feet wide, about 150 foot deep. Been there for a long time. Many people came every day to draw water out of that well, looking for what the earth and the world was supplying. But what Jesus was talking about went further than the world. He's talking about spiritual matters, amen? There's many sitting here this morning, no doubt you're thirsty spiritually. No doubt you need something spiritual this morning. And the Bible said, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. May I say this morning, if you're here and you're not saved by the grace of God, you're drawing from this world. And everything you draw from this world, you're just going to stay thirsty. Amen. It doesn't matter how much alcohol you drink, how much dope you might do, or whatever it might be that you're involved in. You'll never be satisfied with what the world has to offer. Each and every day you get up, amen, and at the dawn of a new day, you're going to find yourself just as thirsty as you was the day before. But when you meet Jesus, and you drink from the living water in which Jesus gives, each and every new day that dawns in your life has a new perspective. It's not about me being thirsty. It's about what can I do for Him. Why is that? God has already grafted over that hole, that thing that causes us to be thirsty, Brother Dale. And He's given us something to look forward to. Amen? That living water. See, I used to be there, and so did you. So did you. How many of you remember drawing from the wells of this world? Go ahead, raise your hands. It ought to stretch just a minute. You remember drawing from the wells of this world. How many of you were satisfied with that? Not a one of us. Not a one of us were satisfied with the things this world has to offer. Everybody has their own experience. Everybody had their own thirst, I guess you could say. Some of you like Mountain Dew. Some of you like Coke. Everybody had their own vices. And those were the things that we depended on. And the devil kept them there before you, and you kept going back to it day after day after day. And Jesus is basically telling this woman, He said, that water will never quench your thirst. But if you'll drink of the water that I'm offering you, you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. The Bible goes on, and the woman saith, and Jesus answered and said, whosoever drinketh of the water, this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well. Notice the wording. Be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Brother Raymond, I'm glad I don't do and go the places I used to go. Amen. I'm glad I don't go draw from the places I used to draw. You see, I go to the well that sprang up inside of me the day that I got saved, right here. The day that God put that well of salvation down in my soul, right here. Amen. I have been able to draw from that well. Have I always drawn from it? No. There's been times I've tried to draw from other sources, only to find myself thirsty, only to find myself longing for what God had put down in my soul. Church, it's time that we learn and time that we start drawing for what God has given us and draw from that. And if we would learn to do that each and every day, it would help us be better people. It would help us to live in love and unity, brother. It would help us to love each other. Churches would stay unified. Churches would stay a lighthouse in the communities. Why is that? Because they were drawing from the well that God has given. And when God gives us something, it's good. It's good. You might say, well, what's the message, preacher? You and I this morning, you and I were waiting on our home going. We're living here in these perilous times. We're living here enduring the hardships of the perilous times that we face. But notice with me back in Isaiah chapter 12, the wording of verse number 3 again. He said, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. I do not count it great sadness to draw from what God's given. Amen. If we could learn to draw with joy. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the joy of rejoicing. Look at verse number 4. The Bible said, and in that day shall you praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. I'm glad this morning that I'm saved. I'm glad this morning that I am born again, heaven bound with the hammer down. And I've got something to shout about. I've got something to praise God about. I mean, listen, I'm human like everybody else. I've got aches. I've got pains. The world's in trouble. But listen, God's still on the throne. I'm still saved this morning, bless God. This world might strip us of a lot of things, but there's one thing, child of God, that you can leave here and rejoicing in this morning is in the fact that you are eternally secure in Jesus Christ. You cannot lose your salvation. Do you believe that, preacher? Absolutely. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's good, ain't it? I draw with joy, amen, and rejoicing in my soul because of what I have in Jesus. I'm not worried about this old world. Amen. I'm not worried about it. Why is that? God's still on the throne. I'm still saved this morning and will be saved. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. We've got something to rejoice about this morning. Amen. How long has it been since you rejoiced in the Lord? How long has it been since you rejoiced in the Lord? How many of you men here watch race? Bless you, brother. Bless you. How many of you watch football then? Let me go a step further. How many of you watch basketball? Do you rejoice when your team wins? It's getting quiet in here. Some of you afraid. Brother Dale, I get tore up. I used to get tore up in NASCAR races. I used to work for a NASCAR team. And messed all that up, but anyway, neither here nor there. And races get me tore up. I love the first 20 laps. I love the last 20 laps. I like the sleep in between. Amen. And I get up from my slumber. Amen. And if my man's winning, I'm coming off the couch. Amen. I'm walking around in front of the TV. And if it's one of them close races, you know, where they're back and forth, just back and forth, man, I'm up there with them. Mash that thing. Get on up there. Bump him. Do something. And if he crosses that finish line first, I cut me a little jig. Hey, man, I'll bounce around. You'd almost think I was fixing to sprout hair. Hey, man, and I'm no different than some of you all. You all just ain't saying nothing about it. I've watched my grandma watch wrestling, and she come unglued. Amen. My grandma would watch wrestling. She'd get down there with them. I mean, she'd come out of her chair. He'd put him in a headlock. And her man would win. She would rejoice. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got something better than wrestling. You got something better than NASCAR. Why is that? That wrestling match didn't change my life. That NASCAR race didn't change my life. It didn't matter if either one of those never happened. But what happened to me right here in 1979 changed my life for all eternity. Amen. And I ought to rejoice in it. Amen. I ought to let God know I'm thankful and happy for what he did down in my soul. Amen. Rejoice in that. I got to hurry. Then there's the joy of fellowship we can draw from. I love being with God's people. Amen. I love being with God's people. Fellowshipping one with another. But you know, Brother Nathan, I like the fellowship that I have with God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Comforter that lives within me. The three are one, the Trinity. Amen. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the three are one. What's living on inside of you right now is God. And that sweet fellowship when you're lonely, That's when God's presence is real. When you're in the deepest, darkest valley of your life, that's when that sweet fellowship is real. I don't care how many friends you got on Facebook. I don't care how many followers you got on Instagram. Amen. What matters is what you've got on the inside, because all them people ain't going to be there when you really need it. In the darkest hour of your night, when you're laying on your bed and you're looking around and you're saying, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. It's when that sweet fellowship of God speaks to your heart and says, it's going to be all right. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I'm right here with you now. Amen. I went through a lot. There's a lot of times I felt alone, but it's been because of me and my dependence on other people. But I'm glad God ain't never let me down. He's never let me down. You may not think much of me as a preacher, and that's all right. But guess what? You and I that are saved by the grace of God, we're still brothers and sisters in Christ. And you have the same fellowship with Him that I do. The joy of fellowship. Are you happy today that He knows you?
Amen.
That He lives within you? I'm thankful for that, aren't you? With joy, drawing from the wells of salvation. The joy of hope. I'm glad we've got hope this morning. Have you ever been in a hopeless situation? Felt like you were in a hopeless situation? We all have. And if you ain't, hang on, you probably will. But you can draw from with joy on your hope that you have in God. What do you mean, preacher? Titus chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, the Bible said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. Today may be rough. That don't mean we can't keep our eyes on that eastern sky. Keep our eyes focused on God. You know the problem today is Brother Tim was talking about. Sometimes our vision's off. We put our focus on everything else. And if you do that, if you get your eyes off God, you'll lose your hope. If you put your hope in man, you're going to lose your hope. But if you'll keep your eyes focused on God, looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of that great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am glad there's a better day coming. It's not here yet, but I'm still rejoicing in it. Amen. I'm still looking forward to it. Verse number 3 says that these are wells. They're not cisterns. The Bible speaks often of cisterns. A cistern is a tank, a storage tank, a holding tank. And oftentimes when you put water or something in a holding tank, it'll go stagnant, won't it? It'll go stagnant, it'll go bad. But he talks about a well. A well is, it taps into a supply of moving or groundwater, if you will, a spring or underground stream. What you and I draw from God is pure. Amen. It's pure. It's undiluted. It's fresh. It's abundant. It never runs out. And guess what? It's free. And you and I need to learn. And young people, as you get moving on with your life, if the Lord tarries, those going into college and a high school, learn that you can take this wherever you go in the world. This well goes with you. You can draw on it when you feel the loneliest, when you're depressed, whatever. Let me give you 7 things quickly, and I'm done, about this well that you and I can draw from. When you and I draw from this well, we can find forgiveness in the times of our failure. We can find forgiveness in the times of our failure. How many of you here, since you've been saved by the grace of God, have failed God? Oh, I failed him miserably. Guess what? So have you. My failure may not have been like your failure, but we have all failed God. You know what I like, though? is that forgiveness can be found. Forgiveness is available to the sinner as well to the child of God. I do not preach sinless perfection. Why is that? God saved my soul, not my flesh. And it's a battle between the spirit and the flesh. And this flesh is going to override the spirit sometimes. And I'm going to falter. I'm going to fail, Brother Raymond. But when I do, I'm glad that I've got that comforter living inside of me. That Holy Spirit of God that convicts me and lets me know when I mess up. Listen to me today, children. When you mess up, it's not the end of the world. You can go and receive the forgiveness that the well holds. You just got to learn to draw from it. Ask God to forgive you your sins. The Bible said in Isaiah 12, verse number 1, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me." What angers God? Sin. Sin. And we all sinned this past week, I'm sure. "When thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away and thou comfortest me." Brother Raymond, I'm glad that I can draw from the well of forgiveness. The Bible teaches me that if He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Sometimes it hurts to have to come crawling back and ask for forgiveness. One of the hardest things you and I ever do is ask forgiveness. Am I right?
Amen.
But I'm glad it's there. I'm glad it's abundant. I'm glad that the forgiveness God gave me this morning, amen, didn't run out, Brother Dale. I'm glad that God's forgiveness in my life is still available tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, and the next day. He knew what He was getting when He saved me. He knew what He was getting when He saved you. He didn't get saint with me. I know nothing about your life. I don't know if you're a saint or not, but I'm sure we've all faltered. Goodness, though, that's goodness right there, isn't it? He knows what I'm talking about. But we all need that forgiveness every morning. His mercies is renewed every day. And I draw from that, Brother Raymond. I'm glad my eternal destiny don't depend on my failures. Why is that? Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5 said, "Unto him that loved us and washed us in his precious blood." That blood covers a multitude of sins, and that blood is still covering my sin today. It's covering your sin, amen. The sin you committed yesterday, the sin you'll commit after a while tomorrow, amen. You can draw from that well of forgiveness in the times of your failure because God's blood is still there, and He'll do it if you'll ask Him and repent of that sin. Did it make any sense? I'm just trying to help somebody today. It sure helped me. You can draw peace in trouble. Peace in times of trouble. Isaiah 26, verse number 3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." As I've already said, and much has been said about the troublesome times we're living in, there's one thing for sure. We don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us knows what tomorrow holds in our lives, and we don't know what kind of trouble we're fixing to fall into. Tomorrow might be a peaceful day, but trouble is coming. And I'm glad there's still peace in times of trouble. We can find peace in Him. Why is that? If we'll keep our focus and our mind stayed on the Lord, He'll get us through each and every moment of it. There's some people that carries around trouble with them all the time, Brother Raymond. All the time they carry their troubles with them. They seem they can't ever get past it. And I wonder sometimes where their focus is. Because He said that if we'd keep our focus on Him, He'd give us peace. Am I right? That's what I just read you from God's Word. And I think sometimes we get so used to living in lives of trouble and living in trouble that we just get accustomed to it. But I want to tell you, how many of you have enjoyed that sweet peace? I'm talking about that sweet peace. When you lay your head down at night, you know all is well with you and God. If you ever experience that, and young people, listen to me. Wherever you go in life, God will go with you. Regardless of what trouble you get into, what comes into your life, know that God is there. And He can give you that peace wherever you're at if you'll just give it to Him. I see many people, 19 years I've been preaching, I've seen a lot of people come to the altar seeking peace. Seeking peace. And Brother Dale, oftentimes I believe they lay it down, and when they get up, they pick it up. And they take it back to the pew with them. They take it home with them. But church, I'm begging you and I'm imploring of you today, if you want to enjoy and draw that sweet peace that God can give, give your troubles to Him and leave it with Him. Leave it there. And God will give you a peace. I'm talking about sleeping like a baby. How many of you wished you could sleep like a baby? Brother Dale said, I sleep just like that. Brother Nathan, I have a lot of restless nights. There's a lot of nights I have to just roll off the bed and pray before I can go back to sleep and get that peace. We can draw forgiveness in failure. We can draw peace in trouble. We can also draw strength in time of weakness. You and I, if we're honest, know that we're pretty weak people. And the devil knows every weakness of everybody in this church and everybody across this land. And the devil plays with our weaknesses. Amen. We all have them. There's no super saints in this church. We've all got weaknesses in our lives. And it's when you and I realize our weaknesses, and I believe we all know what our weaknesses are. It's in those times that you and I need to learn to draw our strength from the well of salvation that God has given us. What do you mean, preacher? And the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul had a weakness. Three times Paul asked for that thorn to be removed from his flesh. Three times he asked God to remove it. Paul was weak. It bothered him. It hurt him. It kept him down. But what did God say? He didn't say, Paul, your strength is good. You'll be all right. No, He said, my grace is sufficient. You and I oftentimes try to handle everything on our own. We try to carry the burdens. We try to carry our weaknesses. We try to carry it all on our own shoulders because God forbid anybody see that we're weak. Anybody see any weaknesses in our lives? I remember a time at this church that this altar used to stay full. You remember that, Brother Dale? And it wasn't because a generation where people were weaker than they are today, but I believe it's because they knew their weakness. And they knew where to draw from to get the strength and the courage to face a new day. That's why our altars are empty. That's why they're not stained with tears today. It's because we're drawing on our own strength. We think that coming to an altar weakens us in the eyes of men. I personally do not mind if you think I'm a baby because I cry on the altar. But Brother Norman, it's because when I come to an altar, it's because I need help from God. All through the Bible, God met man at an altar. God met with man at an altar. And I'm not above getting on my hands and knees and getting in an altar and asking God to help me, strengthen me, take this burden from me, give me strength, give me courage for what I face. We as a church ought to be uniting together in the world we're living in and asking God to help us in our weakness and strengthen us for the battle that is ahead, because, church, the battle's coming. The battle's coming. And we're going to need God's strength to make it through. I'm moving on. We can draw grace in temptation. Times of temptation in our life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." When temptation comes into our lives, notice I already talked about the devil knowing your weakness. And it's in that time of weakness that the devil's going to tempt you. The devil's going to bring temptations into your life and try to bring you down. It takes a lifetime to build a testimony. Am I right? A lifetime to build a testimony. But in that moment of weakness and temptation, it only takes a few minutes to destroy it. And many people fall into the snares of the devil. I'm not giving the devil any glory this morning, but the devil's got a bullseye on every child of God in here. He's wanting to destroy you. He's wanting to bring you down. Church, he wants to destroy Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. You can mark that down. God does not like a God-fearing, Holy Ghost, Bible-believing church. And he'll put a bullseye on it. And he'll try to find a way through temptation and through weakness to destroy your church. He might just do it one member at a time. All it takes is one. Amen? There's hope in times of discouragement we can draw from. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 6, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." There's going to be times in our lives that the world's going to turn against us. Amen. There's going to be times that your friends are going to turn against you. There's going to be times those that you thought were close and dear to you, they're going to turn against you. They turned against David and they were talking about stoning David. Imagine how David felt. Everybody was wanting to kill David. Wanting him gone, out of the picture. Have you ever been there? You ever been to a place in your life that you're so distressed that you didn't know where to turn, that there wasn't nobody around to help you because everybody seemed like they were against you? I've been there. No pity party, but I've been there. But I like what David did. David didn't encourage himself in the people. It wasn't the people that David drew his encouragement from, even though they were against him, talking of stoning him. The Bible said, "And David encouraged himself in what? The Lord." Young people, older saints alike, there's one thing you and I have, and that is the Lord. He is on our side. We can draw from Him no matter what or who is against us. The Lord is there, and we ought to encourage ourselves in that. I mean, we sing those songs, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Amen. Have you ever sung that song? But do we believe it? We let the world, our friends, and all determine our encouragement, but in all reality, all that should matter is drawing our encouragement from the Lord. Amen. I mean, I love to have friends, amen. But I draw my encouragement from the Lord. When this world is, when you're all alone, you won't have nobody else but the Lord. Am I right, Brother Dale? You can draw hope in times of discouragement. I'm almost done. refreshing in weariness. How many of you have ever been tired? Some of you look like you need a job. We've all got tired from time to time, amen? And I want to tell you, working for the Lord can wear you down. A lot of people get out of the fight because it's wearisome work sometimes. Serving God, doing what God would have you to do. And it's in those times of weariness we get weak. We just want to quit. We want to throw in the towel and just go pile up somewhere and get away from it all. But I like it after I take a good nap in my times of weariness. I'm talking physically. I told you all about me sleeping during the race. That's a fact. And when I get up, Brother Dale, I'm refreshed. I'm ready to go. But spiritually speaking, I get worrisome too. I get tired. Brother Tim, is there any other preachers in here? Brother Tim probably can relate what I'm fixing to say. Brother Tim, you love Legions for Christ. You got a heart, you and your dear wife. And most people don't understand that it ain't just a love, it's not just a position, it's not just something to do, but you carry the burden for those young people. When they hurt, you hurt. The burdens that you carry for them gets heavy. The burdens that you carry for those that you're trying to serve sometimes breaks you down. And Brother Tim, he knows what I'm talking about. Sometimes when we get that weary, there's nobody that you and I can go to draw the strength we need in our times of weariness, the refreshing we need, except in the Lord. God, I can't, but you can. God, help me with the burdens that I carry. Help me carry the burdens for my people. Help me to be an encouragement to them. Don't let my weariness, don't let my weakness, don't let these things get them down. We try to put on a good face, but sometimes you just get tired. Sometimes you just get tired. And this is, I love this verse. The Bible said in Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31, He giveth power to the faint. He being God. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Amen. I believe it's at the end of our rope. Sometimes it's in the end of our weariness that, amen, we get to a place, God, I can't, but you can, that He lifts up our arms, He lifts us up, He strengthens us, and it goes on. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. It's just not an old problem. It's for everybody. And the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Church, you know what we need today? We need the strength of God. We need the strength of God in our lives. We need the strength of God in our churches. We need the strength of God to make it through, because it is a battle. We get tired, but we can't give up. We can't give in. When we get to that point that we're so tired we can't go, I believe that's then that we need to just keep calling on God. God, help me. Help me to carry it. Help Brother Tim help the Legions for Christ. Help this church be a support to them. Help the preachers as they preach. Help them carry the load. God will send people by to help strengthen you and help you in your times of weariness. Are you with me? I'll give you one more and I'm done. You can draw joy in weeping. Joy in weeping. Psalm chapter 30, verse number 5 says, For his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's going to be times in our lives that we're saddened. All that's going on around us, our own lives, and weeping's going to come. We're going to shed many a tear in the battle. But Brother Dale, I'm glad that well of salvation, I can draw joy from that well. When my heart's broke, when your heart's broke, when the tears are heavy, know that weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm glad today we got wells to draw from, don't you? Wells that we take with us everywhere, Brother Tim. It's there. God's with us all the time. We just need to learn to draw from them. As a musician comes and gets us a song of invitation, I want you to stand just a moment.